The U.S. appears to have expanded its agreement with Ukraine to strike over the border inside Russian territory. And Joseph Lindsley standing by now in Ukraine. Joe, hi. I guess this is good news for you and Ukraine, isn't it?
Yeah, Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. And I'd say, I mean, there's a strange mood and feeling here. I mean, obviously it's good news, but it's, you know, it's news that, you know, for everyone here, this could have happened a long time ago, and a lot of lives would have been saved. And so there's a positive sense. People are, okay, at last, you know, let's use this. And I think we saw when the U.S. gave permission for Ukrainians to hit back in Kharkiv region just about a month ago, we've seen the positive results of that without major negative repercussions from Russia. Russia's been weakened in that region. And so perhaps that test gave Washington some courage, or even just some data to say, hey, look, you know, we can actually try to win here instead of just holding on. And, you know, another thing, look at the what's happening in the Black Sea. There are hundreds of ships, commercial ships in the Black Sea, including right now 11 ships that in the past about the past 24 hours have been inbound to the port of Odessa. This is remarkable because no one could even imagine this in 2022. You know, Ukraine had to have that deal brokered by the UN to have a very small safe passage corridor. But now, simply by Ukrainian, the way the Ukrainian military and Ukrainian special sort of intelligence forces have destroyed Russia's navy there, the Black Sea is safe for commerce. That's a huge success. And so if we see, you know, if you give Ukraine more ability, this thing can be turned around. And then I've seen reports from sort of military experts and open source intelligence experts analyzing the images of the Russian fleet in the Caribbean Sea, especially when they were there docked in Havana Harbor. And there's many reports, pretty credible ones, that those Russian ships in the Caribbean look like they're falling apart, actually missing pieces. You know, and it's not, you know, I think Russia obviously wants to project a sense of strength. And, you know, as we talked about this week, I mean, the meetings with Kim Jong-un in North Korea, and that huge spectacle in which Putin was seemingly honored. But, you know, this seems to be the last, I mean, who else, you know, to whom else can Putin turn in this moment? And so we can see this with a lot of positivity. I think it's also obvious that, you know, as Ukraine, I mean, every time the Ukraine is in a position of strength, the Russians will try something. You know, they're trying to win, right? So it's not going to be easy. And even we see perhaps evidence of more Russian spy activity, Russian propaganda activity. And then we see what Putin said when he was in Vietnam just the past 24 hours, right after he was in North Korea. He's, you know, going back to his nuclear threats. And he says, you know, if Western weapons hit anything in Russia, you know, maybe that could be a cause for nuclear response. So he feels like he's cornered and needs to respond. And he even threatened South Korea. South Korea so far has not given lethal aid to Ukraine. They've given humanitarian aid and some basic military equipment, but nothing lethal. And he threatened them, even though they've done less than other countries. And he was in the, you know, the country that is an existential threat to South Korea, and he tries to bully South Korea. And so we're going to see which way South Korea goes, but there are some indications that for the first time, South Korea, as a result of Putin's bullying, is considering sending lethal aid. And so we are in this phase of, it's a poker game.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see who's going to project strength and toughness. And meanwhile, while all that happens in the macro level, it's up to everyone here to hold on. Because, I mean, I see it. I mean, I even have people knocking at my door, knocking at the door of our news bunker, asking for help.
Wow.
Like with heavy, you know, sadness, you know, I mean, all different types of problems. Like someone had a woman, her son is a soldier in a hospital and needed to be transferred to another hospital. And there wasn't enough transport available. And so here, you know, 900 miles away, coming to me, an American here, to get help. And so it's extremely difficult. But there's a lot, you know, there's some good news, it seems, on the horizon.
You mentioned the antiquated Russian ships. I was watching a story about Russia's arsenal. It vastly outnumbers Ukraine's, but a lot of it is really old. And then this morning there's a report about what the Ukrainians are doing with their drones. They are changing the navigation equipment, updating the antennas and video feeds to avoid frequencies that Russia is targeting. So it sounds like the Ukrainians are modernizing a lot of their equipment, and even though they don't have as much as the Russians, perhaps it's better.
Yeah, I mean, there's such rapid innovation happening here. And, you know, I think anyone that knows anything about tech or innovation, you have to have freedom and motivation to innovate. You know, you can't innovate if you're depressed and you don't see hope for your future. And so Ukrainians, you know, they're well motivated in a way that Russians, I mean, the Russians have adapted in many ways, and that's made things difficult. But I think the speed here, you know, you see, you know, almost everyone who can, you know, even there are children in schools learning how to tinker with drones now. That's part of the curriculum. You know, they're, Once they get to victory, they're going to be, you know, this is going to be a hot spot for tech development even more. And I think this is part of the story that I'm starting to see people in America pay attention, like Western defense companies and people from Silicon Valley. If you want innovators, you know, this is the society for it. And, you know, even though there's problems with power and electricity, people are motivated. And actually, I was talking with an American investor who came here and said even he's making a point of hiring Ukrainians, even though they often don't have electricity, because he knows they're going to be more motivated than people he might hire right now in the U.S.
One of our listeners in Las Vegas, Tim, is paying attention. He emailed us, "Hi, Bob. I've been listening to Joseph Lindsley's reports from the beginning. It is possibly the best of world-class reporting." That's nice. And we hope Tim comes home with money from Las Vegas.
Yeah, good luck with him in Vegas.
And
thanks for those good words.
All right. You be well, Joseph. We'll talk to you Monday.
Thank you, Bob. Until Monday.